Got the power. That'd be you and me and everyone else. Power to the people. That's Patti Smith from that fabulous Occupy album. And this is the fabulous KMUN Coast Community Radio. This is Carol here with with arts, live and local. We are still here thanks to the graces of the graces, period. But the graces in this case of the fabulous staff and board and volunteers of KMUN, coastradio.org. Thanks so much to all of you who took part in our not quite so quiet, but relatively quiet drive. We very much appreciate it. And healing wishes to all. Good news on Peterson Lane in Brownsmead. Still sending those good wishes out. And to Squamish, to Sydney and Robin and Omaha, and to Tessa and Sev in Seashell, and to you wherever you are listening. Thanks so much for being here. And Jean-Paul Morelli, are you there?
Yes, I am there.
You know,
I'm still grooving to Patti Smith.
Here. Yeah, I know. I knew you would enjoy that. Me too. It's hard to sit still. This is, after all, arts live from the parking lot. So, but it's raining, so I'm not out there dancing, just in my seat. But I have always enjoyed talking with you and also just enjoyed saying your name, and it hasn't happened enough. And now I understand it may not be happening too much longer, but Jean-Paul Morelli is the executive director of the Columbia Theater Association for the Performing Arts in Longview, Washington. And that's Columbia like the river. So welcome. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Yeah.
I'm surprised when I suddenly was staring down retirement. I said, well, yeah, it's a good time to retire. Mm. I'd been here for 14 years, been at the Columbia Theater for 14 years.
That's
14
amazing.
Of us, 37 years. There have only been four directors.
Mm.
And I guess I outlasted them all, or they just couldn't pry me out of my seat. I don't know.
It feels like just yesterday when you came, though. I remember, because you were my guest on the radio. And it doesn't feel like 14 years, but it may to you. Where did you come from?
It wasn't. You know, it's gone by amazingly fast. And, mm-hmm. and actually, I had looked down the road and said, you know, I announced my retirement to the board last November and then was going to leave by June 1st. And I had planned an entire, there was a whole singer-songwriter concert series or concert that I'd wanted to put up and on the book, on the bricks, on the stage in June of 2021, but COVID stepped in the way.
2020, yeah.
2021, right. I wanted to do it.
Oh.
Because I announced in November of 19 and said I would be leaving in about 18 months, giving plenty of time for transition and things.
Oh.
But the COVID reared its ugly head and it made sense in order to begin to think. I mean, when you're running an organization like this, as all of my colleagues are dealing with, how do we finance? How do we do?
Mm-hmm.
We cannot socially distance performances that make any kind of financial sense.
Right.
And so how do we do what we're doing and still remain relevant to the communities, even if we've been silenced for a while? So it took a little bit of finagling around, but the organization is stable financially.
Great.
And we'll be able to weather the COVID storm for a reasonable period longer. And included in that was my saying, you know, there's no reason to stay an additional 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be dealing with a lot of things. So we decided to call it on December 31st.
Wow.
And,
heading
out. And I'm still, that's like 70 days away. Now, notice I'm counting the days, but I'm not really counting. I'm counting them because I can't believe it. And there's a lot of work to do here. But, it's been an interesting ride. Yeah, I came here in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And we immediately went into a renovation in 2009, which renovated the entire theater, most of it.
Tell us. And I remember the differences, too. But a lot of folks never even been to your fabulous theater. And, you know, here in Astoria, of course, we had the Liberty. We still have the Liberty, but we had a whole renovation as well. But your theater is even bigger.
Yeah, the Tell Columbia us. Is about 800 seats, 814 seats mm-hmm. now. It used to be 1,200.
Right.
We did a complete renovation. It was, when I first got here, and what was appealing to coming here from Wisconsin was, number one, you didn't have to shovel the precipitation.
Right.
Second, there was a renovation, and I'd always wanted to be a part of a capital campaign and a renovation. We did about $11 million worth of work on the theater in the middle of a recession, reopened it in 2010, so we're about 10 years into that renovation.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, there were some things we couldn't afford to do, which had to hold for a little while, and now we've completed them. So we finally added the chiller, which is the cooling element of our HVAC system. We added a number of other elements that needed to be taken care of, technical elements, and we just added brand new front doors, which may not mean a lot to a lot of people, but when you were looking at these old wooden front doors that we couldn't change out, and you're saying, what, do you got another $70,000-$80,000? Can we do that?
Right.
Well, we've now been able to do that. So in the last year, we've added about another $1 million of the work.
Mm.
And a lot of that came courtesy of not only the community, but also of the public facilities district, because we were able to refund some bonds and some things, and that's a state program, and raise the additional money. So the Columbia Theater, by the time I walk away from it, and we'll be putting all new LED lights in our in our marquee and things like that,
mm-hmm.
be able to button it up and put a bow on it and say, there we are. You know, it has been. I am grateful for the time. This community is a pretty amazing community for supporting this organization. We are probably one of the smallest communities that has an active art center like we have.
Yeah.
We started with about 35. I came here, there were about 35 events a year that we were doing. And our last count before we closed down the last season was about 88 events.
Wow. Okay, tell us
Go
some
ahead.
Well, two questions. First, before I forget, what's a chiller? And then I would like you to tell us about some of those events.
Well, a chiller is simply it's a mechanical, a big massive mechanical unit that chills the air. So it's what you, rather than an air conditioner, it's a big condensing unit. So it's about $700,000 worth of that. So
we need that here. Does it also warm the air when you? Or it's,
oh yeah, I mean okay. it was part of it. We designed the entire system to handle that, but we couldn't afford to go any further. We
gotcha.
Didn't have that additional $700,000 when we were renovating in the middle of the last recession.
Gotcha.
Remember the last recession? Yeah.
Oh, God.
So we put that on the side and engineered it to the walls and said, some days we'll do it. Well, it came about that we were able to make that happen.
Nice. Okay.
And that means that it is fully, you know, you don't think about this, but even in when you get 800 people in a
Absolutely.
House, that's a lot of, everybody's a walking BTU unit, you
yep.
know, so they're,
yep.
we're all hot boxes in there, and we can warm up a theater pretty quickly. And even in the middle of February, you need to have cool air flowing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because people think of Pacific Northwest. Nobody has air conditioners in their homes, but exactly. We don't
yeah.
have those kinds of numbers.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
now, what all have you been doing? I've been to several performances on stage and in the bigger part, in the normal, quote, normal audience area. Tell us.
Well, I'll tell you what's happened to us. And I'll tell you, and I was thinking about I was trying to think back on all of the artists that have been through this hall in the last 14 years. And we have always done a variety of things. We're very philosophically bent on what we do. As much as we have to watch our bottom line like everybody else does, it's also been about the quality and about the diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go through some of my favorite artists, just
sure.
people Great. Who appeared on the Columbia stage. Ed Asner.
Oh,
Jimmy
what?
Webb, who, you know, did who was a Grammy Award winning, five-time Grammy winner with Up, Up, and Away and MacArthur Park and all of Glenn
wow.
Campbell's hits,
mm-hmm.
was on our stage. Dave Mason of Traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Asleep at the Wheel.
Oh, wow.
Little River Band, Pablo Cruz. John McCune and John Carter Cash with a tribute to "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" That was a huge thing for me personally.
I think I was at that one, and I have a bottle of wine or beer or something from that.
Beer, you have a bottle
beer.
Of beer.
That's it. Yep, I still have it.
We used to label our beers for this, and we would call them that.
Right.
We've had things like the acting company here with their Shakespeare's.
Mm-hmm.
We've done the Push Physical Theater, music, lots of musicals. My favorite, one of my favorites, being Evil Dead the musical, because there was a splatter zone in it. But the fact is all of these things we had done the cultural immersion weeks where we would bring in the authentic artists and in the middle of that we would do tributes to Japan, China, and India. So we had cultural immersion weeks where people came in and you saw film and you saw cultural aspects of that culture,
mm-hmm.
and then the workshops, and then the evening length performances by some of the artists that we brought in. They were all to have this kind of touch on our community. We were not just performing; we mm-hmm. are a cultural arts resource.
Well, and considering where we all live, it's so essential that you have that ability and that you did that, because otherwise so many people in the area will never experience any of that. So did you have involved the schools at all?
Yes, we did. I mean, the cultural immersion weeks with the schools, we've done, we did a really cool thing. We've done a number of these things over the years. One of the things we do to make sure we connect with and maintain our connection with the community is the way we work with organizations like Fish of Cowlitz County to raise money for their food bank and
mm-hmm.
things like that. And we've raised money for them just by saying, come and we'll pass the basket. We'll do things.
Nice.
We did a gospel sing-around with LaRonda Steele, the gospel choir, and did that. Rescued Paws, we got money. We did a thing that we started this last year called Two for the Schools, and it was $2 of every ticket. We would pick an elementary school and say, your PTO has been nominated, and we're going to give you $2 for every ticket
nice.
We sell of this performance. Didn't ask anything for it, but it was our way of continuing to connect
right.
with the elementary schools and the
mm-hmm.
kids there, and they would get excited about it. And before the program shut down, because it was a full-fledged program this last year, and it ended in February, obviously, before that happened, we'd put about $1,400 in elementary school coffers in
nice.
A couple of elementary
nice.
Schools, which is really important to them.
In many ways, the money as well as the connections, so that people understand. You know, I always say art saves lives, and this is literally when you're working with the people in the community, feeding people and going for the arts programs. Let me just reintroduce you, because you are unfortunately... have not been heard enough here. So besides, I love saying your name, Jean-Paul Morelli, from the Columbia Theater Association for the Performing Arts, and that is in Longview, Washington. So for the locals around here who are going, what? Where did all this happen? How come I didn't know? And that's partly because this is one thing we will have to reinstitute, is to make sure that we here at KMUN get the information so we can put it out. And of course, even though Jean-Paul is speaking in the past, because they've been shut down for this pandemic time, all of this is going to come back in various ways, except for him, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be going, we're going to be going south. We're going to the Southwest. There's a lot of work that needs to be done on the border in Arizona.
We're
going to be
moving
there and doing a lot of things there. But, you know, I wanted to share something that we are doing now. You know, we had to cancel our season, and it looks as though we will not have another performance for almost a year since we closed down last March. So
mm-hmm.
if we're lucky, this spring we might begin to see some live performances, and they'll then be socially distanced, and maybe we'll be able to get 150 people in our 800-seat theater.
Yeah.
None of that makes any economic sense. But what we did in the meantime is say, how can we connect? And one of the ways we're connecting, besides all of the – we're doing a whole lot of additions to the theater itself. We work on the theater now, so it was – actually a good thing that we were not trying to perform now. Mm-hmm. We're still working on projects. But we did a project. We started a project called Artists in Our Midst. And I want to show you, and it is to celebrate our local artists or artists within our region.
Nice.
And I said, you know, there are folks who I know who are incredible musicians who you can bring them in and pay them to play at your event over in the corner, or people are having wine and they know it and they appreciate them. Mm-hmm. But you rarely have time to stop and use it as a listening room to listen to their work as opposed to them just being background. And there were some extraordinary people that I know that we wanted to present. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if we did a live streaming or a streaming event?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will tell you, if it were not for COVID-19 and not for this closure in this pandemic, we would probably never have gotten around to doing this, but we're trying something new. And it started last week, and we're going ahead. And it includes a number of artists from the coast. That we kind of, I said, where do I find really quality folks that we are going to bring in and record and then edit in and upload them on our website? And where do I find them? And how do I go just beyond where we are?
Uh-huh.
One of the first people I thought of were the first couple I thought of was Sue and Bill Svensson over at Peninsula Arts Center.
Right.
And they were kind enough to say, send me an email with, here's a list.
Here's a list, exactly. Yeah, I work with them a lot. They're just delightful. And, of course, they're relatively new here. But they dug in and just started featuring all kinds of people, even before they moved here for real. And
isn't that a cool thing?
Yeah, yeah. And we have a tremendous number of fabulous artists in this area. Cool. That is, thank goodness, that's such a gift.
Now, I'm going to share a couple of these. First of all, it's called Artists in Our Midst, and I'll explain that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that every Saturday night, almost every Saturday night between now and Christmas and December 19th, we are featuring a new artist that we're just kind of uploading. And then they're going to be on our YouTube page. All you have to do is go to ColumbiaTheater.com and look for and just kind of search through there. It's pretty easy to get through to find how you can connect. And at 7 o'clock on every Saturday night between now and December 19th, we will upload a new artist. Now, some of the artists that people that you're more closely listen to are Catherine Rose is going to be featured this Saturday night.
Okay,
she has a wonderful Celtic voice. She's now out of Eugene, but had been on the coast for a long time. The Oyster Crackers will be coming up in a few weeks.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I just was in love with them.
Yes.
And we not only recorded some people on stage, but we recorded in some odd places, too. So
hallways
and a few other places.
Nice.
So they'll be there. Who else is it? Fred Carter and Brian Forster, who are out of Surfside, will be recording
them
this coming week, and will be scheduled in down the road a little bit. Who else did I have in this thing? I'm just trying to see who else was on here. We're doing a little bit of everything. Avi Habib was last week. He was a singer-songwriter and guitarist. Catherine Rose, of course, is Celtic.
Right.
We're bringing a guy named Carl Workala and Chris McAllister.
Oh, yes.
Who are coming in, who are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful artists.
Now, I notice, and of course, Longview is in the state of Washington. I noticed that all of those artists are Washington artists. Is that part of the idea?
No.
No.
Not at all. You know, we do draw. We do actually have.
Oh, no. Catherine Rose is in Eugene.
We have a good cadre of people who travel from the coast to see performances at the Columbia Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a regular occurrence. So we really actually have a presence among us, an audience of certain part. Now, you've got to be willing to travel, you know, the 60 miles to get here. And in an evening on Highway 30 is not exactly the most pleasant thing to do. Or if you're coming, you know, down on the other side, the northern side. But we had this ability when we came up with this idea in July. I was on vacation interestingly enough, at the beach, and was thinking about this and say, how do we do this project? Then I looked at it and said, we need to have really good artists, and that's when I went to Bill, and Sue, and I looked at the folks that I knew we wanted to have in. but we only have enough. We only raised enough money to do the first 8 or 10, and mm-hmm. we're doing some things with our symphony for school districts,
nice.
And things like this. We're asking them to perform. We've raised the money to do that. We have the videography there, so we're taking care of the project. And as we are able to continue, I think this is something we should continue to do.
Yes.
Beyond my tenure, but
yes.
At 11:59 on 12:31, my keys are turned in.
Well, interestingly enough, and you mentioned it when you were talking about working on the building, a lot of places, and I'm sure a lot of people in their own homes, have been doing all kinds of work, and also a lot of people. Once folks realized that this was not going to reopen in a month or two, started posting. And so for those of us who live in the middle of nowhere, or the middle of paradise is the truth of it, this has been a fabulous opportunity. So, so again, Columbia Theater, and that's R-E and no N, Columbia Theater. .com, and then people can get all the information there. Is that right?
About yes, they
Saturday
can.
Night
it's
gigs.
Called Artists in Our Midst. It's a great series, and you can find out it. But it is so you tune in 7 o'clock on every Saturday night between now, I think, and the holiday, and the list and the schedule is on the board,
right.
It's on the website, so people will be able to see that and tune in and hear some of the artists that we have, because we have some extraordinarily gifted people. Who when you say we're putting you on our stage, not asking you to just play in the corner, mm-hmm. you begin saying, "My goodness, how lucky and how fortunate we are to have that kind of artistry in
yeah,
our midst."
And you have, it's a beautiful. You've done a beautiful job on the theater, and even as I mentioned, I went to the Carrie Newcomer. I met her for the first time on. The stage. You had the concert on the stage, which was wonderful, intimate, and the sound was good, and it was just delightful. So, well, I want to wish you all the best of luck. Now, is there a search going on, or is there a new group, somebody coming in to take your place, or is that not in place yet?
That's not in place, and one of the reasons for that, real briefly, is that we've been operating under a strategic plan that we've updated for these many years I've been here, and that strategic plan, along with most people's, is out the window.
Right.
We now have to rethink who is the Columbia Theater going to be in the future.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous that I'm not going to be here to mm-hmm. to do some of that, but there comes a time when you hand it off mm-hmm. and let fresh ideas come. But because they're going to do that, they'll be looking at strategic planning going into the spring, and they will probably make a choice as to how they're going to reconfigure the organization going forward. Now, I will tell you that we have had our professional staff here has been here for many of them much longer than I have been here.
Right.
And it is an extraordinary group of people, and it's very, very capable hands.
Well, I think you have made a really good case, because a lot of folks don't think of Longview as being a center for the arts. And I will admit that I've had a little bit of challenge, and I am orientationally challenged. So getting there has been a bit tricky. Is there a map on your website or directions?
More often than not, I think there are directions, but I think more often than not, everybody just goes to Google to get here.
And that's true. People have GPS.
It's across the bridge and almost a straight shot.
It's very close. And it's an opportunity to go during the day, see those wide streets of Longview as well, and then trip over to the Columbia Theater. Wonderful. I wish you all the best of luck, and I hope you take Arizona by storm and do some great stuff there. I'm sure you will, and you'll come back and visit us.
I hope I will. And once again, thank you, Carol, for everything that you do and have done for these many, many years for keeping the arts alive and keeping the information flowing over all of these years, the few that I've known you, but for the long time that you've been doing it. And that's really important. We have to keep in mind, as I told people in my in a note I just sent out, I said, It has always been not my Columbia Theater, but yours. Mm-hmm. And that we always have to hold these arts organizations, hold them close.
Right.
Because they are always fragile.
Right, right.
And we can't ignore them.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All sizes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get, I'll get off my soapbox.
I love it. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to hear you again. And who knows, maybe you'll pop back in before the year's over. But I'm sure you have lots to do. So thanks so much for taking this time and sharing it with us again, folks. ColumbiaTheater.com in, yes, Longview, Washington, right down the road. Okay, John Paul. Okay. Take care.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And this is KMUN Arts Live and Local. This is Carol with Arts from the Parking Lot. And Nevada's on the other side, and he's got some music for us. I want to send out some birthday wishes. That's right. And the first one goes to the upcoming artist. That'd be Kim. Kim Angelis, our own KMUN programmer, and her beautiful, this is her newest album, Passages, that we're going to hear from. I also want to send out all the love in the world to my Stephanie Lynn Smith, whose birthday is tomorrow, same day as Kim's. And yesterday, you may have heard, would have been Timothy Leary's 100th birthday. He's older than Stephanie or Kim, just in case you're wondering. But he's not here. And he and Richard Alpert were on the air, on Fresh Air. Richard Alpert, of course, became known as Ram Dass and just died last year, as a matter of fact. They would be very, very happy to see the Oregon ballot measure 109. So I hope you're all making sure you get your votes in. I just dropped my ballot off right here in Astoria. And also a happy birthday from a few days ago to Sue Boston with love. Here's some music for you from Kim Angelis. Thank you. Oh, yes. Kim Angelus, our very own Kim Angelus, who is one of the hosts on Friday evenings for our world music show, and herself, as you could hear, is a world-class violinist with, I have totally lost count, 8, 9, 10 albums to her name. And coming, and that was from the latest album called Passages, and the name of it is Promises, which I thought is very relevant right now. So happy birthday, Kim and Stephanie and Sue Boston and Timothy Leary in absentia. Thank you all. And my art form of, all of them are of choice, but this one is the one I sometimes delve into. Julia Gingrich is here with me. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
I'm glad you're here. And Julia is the founder and director of the Sparrow Dance Company in Astoria and Clatsop County and parts unknown. And I wanted to read the mission statement of Sparrow Dance Company. And Julia's going to be my guest on a regular basis, I'm hoping, because to my mind, we don't have enough dance. And the fact that come whatever, certainly high water, and perhaps the whole thing, hell or high water, you have kept the dance alive. Now, I'm not sure about tonight. We'll talk about that later because it's kind of raining. But the mission of the Sparrow Dance Company to enrich our community through cultural dance performance and education while supporting local charitable groups, and the vision to dance across boundaries of age, culture, and ideologies. And, the show that you've put together for this season, I love the name of it, Witches, Wizards, and Waffles. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Waffles. So, first, tell us, because you were supposed to be dancing, I guess it wasn't going to start until Monday, is that right?
Yes, starts on Monday.
Okay, Monday through Thursday, 6:30 p.m. in Astoria, all of them at the Garden of Surging Waves, which is about 11th and Duane, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're still planning on it?
We are. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be clear, so we're going for it.
Good. How clever of you not to start today when it was raining.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us who's dancing and what this program is about, because each one of your programs is quite different.
Yes. So I'm dancing myself, which is a great change. I kind of get to step back a little bit from the director role. And Sarah Elder is dancing, and then Sarah Cohen has done the choreography and done a lot of the directorial element and building the props.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, that's who's dancing.
Is Sarah Cohen going to dance as well? Or
She's not dancing
in this one. She's doing everything else. Okay. And I saw one photograph, which was absolutely delightful. Tell us what you and Sarah, the other Sarah, are doing.
Yeah. So I'm the wizard, and Sarah Elder is the witch. Mm-hmm. And we have created this magical land where we are making a stew. And I'm not going to explain what comes out of the stew because that would ruin the surprise.
Okay.
But we have a cauldron. And we have our friend Bernard the Owl, who is there. And we lead the Halloween children that come through an adventure of interactive exploration and through storytelling and dance.
Now, do you have to be, can you be a child at heart, or do you have to be a short child? Any age?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Just checking, because sometimes people, you don't want to leave any of us out. Now, what's with the waffles? I got the wizard and the witch. What's with the waffles?
Mm-hmm. Well, this witch and wizard, their favorite food is waffles. So that is, yes, that's very much tied into our time together and our story. And we partnered with Josh Jensen from the food cart Waffle or Coffee.
Ah.
And so he is part of the program. Is any child who comes in costume will get a $1 voucher for a waffle from his cart.
Oh, wow. That's lovely.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is the perfect holiday for these days because people wear masks anyway. Only this time, in addition to covering your eyes, cover your mouth and your nose as well. So.
Yeah.
Will the kids have a chance to actually dance?
Yeah, they will. So we always have kids practice making their own dance bubble, which really proves well right now with the keeping the social distance. And they will have chances to stand up and participate and do some activities that we walk them through.
Okay, I think I know what it means, but I've never heard the term dance bubble.
Yeah, so it's essentially, I have the kids visualize that there's a hula hoop on the ground, and they're standing in the middle of the hula hoop, and that's their dance space. That's their dance bubble.
Nice, nice. So they have their personal space.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Now, do you teach dance somewhere, or did you before? Will you after? What's the story?
I have taught every age, many genres, many different places. currently, I'm teaching at the Astoria School of Ballet. I'm teaching jazz there.
Oh.
For those students.
I had no idea. Are you actually upstairs in the Liberty then?
Yeah, we're at the studio upstairs, and it's all social distance and masks.
How wonderful. Okay. I did not realize that Maggie had brought in jazz. That's terrific, in addition to ballet. So, cool. Now, okay, since you gave us that teaser of having taught all kinds of dance, why don't we go a little bit further back, Julia? Because even though you've been here before, a lot of people haven't met you or heard you speak, or they have, but they've forgotten because they're old. So why don't you give us a little bit about your personal background in dance and life?
Sure. I've been dancing since I was three. And my mother was a dancer and an actress. So I grew up in theater, in dance, in music. I've studied piano a lot of years. And when I hit high school and it was, you have to choose theater, piano, or dance, I chose dance.
Do you remember why?
Can I say why?
Do you remember even? Yeah.
Because I got to do it all. I got to have music and I got to have theatrics while I was dancing.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Yeah, that's true. Because if you're doing strictly theater, it doesn't necessarily have music or dance. But if you're doing dance, you've definitely got the music. And if you play it right, you've got theater. Well, you have to use your whole body, your face, etc. How clever. Where did you grow up?
Yeah. I grew up in a very small town in Oregon in the Willamette Valley called Aurora.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And was there a school there, or did your mom teach you, or what?
Yeah, there were several nearby small dance studios that I studied from, very good training. And they just pushed me. They said, if you're really going to do this, you need to go beyond. And so I spent a lot of my training with Oregon Ballet Theater when I was in high school before I went on.
And did you, were you able to study dance in academically, or is that not something one does?
I did in at the collegiate level. I did. I got my major in dance and
nice.
And did both, and then went on to choreograph and teach and perform professionally.
So when did you start Sparrow Dance Company, and what motivated you to start the company, or is that what you do when you move somewhere?
No, I started, Sparrow was founded in 2019, and so we're a year and a half now, and I was familiar with Astoria. I'd lived here about 5 years. And I started teaching at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. And all of a sudden, I had dancers on my doorstep going, we want more of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we want an avenue to be able to perform as an adult with advanced dance technique.
Nice.
And I always thought about starting a company, just never had the right at the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And always moving as a young family with our career, and we got settled, and it was the right time. So,
great. It was the right time. Now, how do you feel about the shutdown? How has it affected what you've been doing? It sounds like you're still doing a lot of it. Has it made you change in different ways?
Yeah, it's shifted the company for the time being, because our perspective of always goes through the COVID filter, how can this be safe?
Yeah.
And how can we cater to what the community needs right now and still have an audience?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's why right. We immediately went to street shows and everything's outside. And everything's free. So for us, that really impacted our operating budget. We have no,
So
we have no ticket sales, and we're doing a lot of grant writing.
You are, okay, and then a donation bucket, I'm sure, which hopefully, I'm sure that a lot of people are so grateful that you're out there doing it, and especially when you bring the kids in, parents have an opportunity to keep their... Or for the first time, perhaps, because it's less threatening to be able to just walk in off the street, as it were, and witness and take part, rather than going into a theater for those who aren't already sold on the arts or especially on dance. So what do you think will happen in the next few months, as the weather changes, if the weather changes, who knows what's going on?
Yeah, good question. We actually surprisingly have an event going on every month, November and December, and already looking towards January. So we're busy, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
I don't know if you want to know, November we have an online event giveaway supporting local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then in December we're collaborating with the Liberty Theater. So we're busy.
Wonderful. And people can find out everything, am I right, at Sparrow Dance Company Astoria.com? Is that right?
It's Sparrow Dance Co-Astoria.org.
Oh, sorry. That's quite
okay.
Important. I have co written down, but I thought it stood for company. So Sparrow Dance Co. Astoria.org, which is another important aspect. You are a nonprofit. So that in case anybody is looking for areas in the arts to give gifts to, that's yet another one to think about. So again, folks, Monday, this coming week, today's Friday, Arts Live and Arts from the Parking Lot. Monday through Thursday, the 26th through the 29th at 6:30. Now, it's only, a half-hour show. Is that right?
That's correct.
So, people, you need to be there. So, get there a little bit early. Walk around. If you haven't seen Garden of Surging Waves, it's quite gorgeous. Walk around, take a look, and then be ready for a fine, fine show. Kids in costumes with masks, everybody with masks, kids in costumes will get a voucher for that they can take to the waffle or coffee cart. Where is that located? I haven't even seen that.
It's right on the corner across from the garden there.
Oh,
on
okay.
11th and Duane.
Okay, where there are a lot of carts right there. So, nice. Okay, well, I love the way you managed to collaborate, too. And I must say, I did enjoy the fact that you had your various venues up at the Column, then Surging Waves, and then the Maritime Museum Plaza. Did you find that Surging Waves worked best, or is it just, is it more convenient? Why did you choose that space? It's certainly beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. A couple factors went into it. One was it's a really good space for children because there's a containment.
Right,
there's
right.
walls, yep. sort of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as a parent, it's easier to keep an eye on your child.
Nice.
And also, because we wanted to do it around dusk to get the Halloween feel, the lighting right under the gazebo there where the fish are is very magical.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay. Well, Julia, you've done it again. This is terrific. Don't miss it, folks. And just go to the Sparrow Dance Company's website, sparrowdanceco.astoria.org. Check it all out and then come on over for some of the wonderful dancing. And be sure to say hello to Julia Gingrich and see what else she's got planned. It sounds like now that you've got the company, although I think the first time I saw you was possibly at Peer Pressure, which became 1015 Theater. And there was a larger group. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've had company members come and go as mm-hmm. as they move on to different states.
Mm-hmm. But right now you're narrowing down also because of the situation. So sounds like fun. Witches, wizards, and waffles. Wonderful. Thanks so much for being here, Julia.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And this is Arts Live from the Parking Lot with Carol. I'm delighted to be here, coastradio.org. By the way, folks, all of these shows are podcast, as are most of our public affairs show. You can find it at coastradio.org, podcast, Arts Live and Local. And also, you can get hold of me, Carol, at coastradio.org. Coastradio.org with a Carol at in front of it. Thanks. Let's hear some music from Barbara Ann Gaidosh, and she is going to be playing live music tomorrow evening at Winecraft with Chris McNeary will be accompanying her, and I don't think Richard T. is going to be there, but maybe, because she's playing with Richard Tomasian as well. And here's My Friend from her brand new album called New Beginnings.
At least that's how our story goes. My friend, it's good to hear you sing again. My friend, so good to hear you laugh again. Way back when. Remember when our spirits were on fire? Remember when we couldn't get much higher? At least that's how our story goes. At least that's how our story goes.
Yeah, that's how our story goes. We couldn't get much higher. Well, we're getting higher and higher all the time, folks. And let's hope that you all have voting. You either have voted or you will be voting. Thanks so much to Barbara Ann Gaidosh. And she, again, will be playing at Winecraft, which is at the foot of 10th Street, right in the water. That's thanks to Rebecca. Beautiful little place. And so a few things happening. The Hoffman has October Potters, the Potters Nook Show. And they're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 1 to 5. This is in Manzanita. It's also the last weekend for Word and Image. Gorgeous show. Long Beach Peninsula Wild Mushroom Celebration is going, 2020 Wild Mushroom Celebration, going on for 6 weeks. Friday until 5 tonight, tomorrow, 9 to 5, etc. So check that out. And you can check it out in Seaview, 3914 Pacific Way, Seaview. Let's see. Tomorrow night, in addition to Winecraft on 10th Street, Southwester is going to be streaming Louis Longmire. And that's some little similar to what Jean-Paul was talking about that the Columbia Theater is doing. Southwester, if you're a guest there, you get to see the show. Otherwise, check in Southwester Lodge in Seaview, Washington. Royal Nebucher Art Gallery at Clatsop College from 10 to 4 on Saturday has Rediscovering Silence. And that's Chris Sheridan's show. It's up until the 12th of November. By the way, Southwester has a fabulous little art gallery. Check that out. She was my guest, too. Sparrow, again, it starts Monday. Tuesday, there's a flea market flip workshop at the Rusty Dahlia, 1062 Marine Drive, and the Coaster needs readers to workshop their 2020 Dickens play project. Tuesday and Wednesday, 6 p.m. at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. Thanks for being here, folks. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local, coastradio.org. Get out there and vote. Make sure, remember, your voice counts. We need to make some big changes in this country. Thanks, folks.